Today on Power Tips Unscripted, we talk to Peg Burley, business coach with Remodeler's Advantage. A business only grows as much as its key leaders grow, and in turn, as much as the team grows. Having a development plan for each person on your team is critical to growth. Peg is here to explain how to make this a priority, and we'll hear all about it in just a minute.
Life moves pretty fast.
Bueller.
Hi, I'm Victoria Downing, and welcome to Power Tips Unscripted, where we talk about tips, tactics, and techniques to help you build a strong, profitable remodeling company. And I'm here with my co-host, Mark Harari.
Well, good morning.
Hi there, how are you?
Very good, how are you?
Good, I'm excited about this particular episode with a brand new member of our RA consulting team, so it's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's exciting. How to create a development plan for people.
So I'm going to need to develop one for you, I bet, huh? I'll get those kinds of tips?
I think I'm excluded.
Yeah, you wish. All right, shall we dive in?
Yeah, jump in.
Peg Burley is based in Columbus, Ohio, and she has been working with business owners and their teams for years. She's the co-author of The Honest Truth About Leadership and an internationally recognized speaker. Peg has 17 years of coaching experience and has helped hundreds of businesses grow. And earlier this year, she joined the consulting team here at Remodeler's Advantage. And I believe she's going to be training as a facilitator for our roundtable groups this spring as well. So welcome, Peg.
Well, thank you. And I will be joining your roundtable facilitating. So I'm looking forward to that. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. The members of roundtables are the best. They're smart. Yeah. And they're sophisticated. And they love talking strategies. They're my kind of people. You know?
Amen.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking today a little bit about development plans for individuals and building up your team. Peg, before we dive into the nitty gritty, how did you get into the aspect of team building that you are so very focused on these days?
So it started when I started as a coach. You start with the leader, right? You start with the owner. So you're starting at the high level. And I did that for the first couple years. And what I was seeing is that as the business grew, sometimes the team was creating a separation from where the owner was and where the team was. And what that was impacting was the fact that we couldn't grow as fast. We were losing some of our people, or we were doing a culture shift, but the team wasn't on board.
Okay.
So, and it's really interesting because we're talking about team growth. And because I had made mistakes, because we always learn from mistakes, right?
Right.
And I'm like, okay, what I know as a coach is I'm leaving the team behind. Mm-hmm. So when we work with companies and coach them, we say, we're your coach, but we're the company's coach.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We're the company's coach. This isn't just for the owner. It's not just for the president, or it's not just for production. It's the entire team. And then we started getting better results.
So does that mean, like I was talking to one of a remodeler the other day who was talking about his company and the tech sophistication that was being built into the company. And mm-hmm. he was saying, I've got these great guys, but I don't know if they're going to be able to take me into the future. And we talked about that philosophy or that concept that sometimes you outgrow your people. They can't keep up with you. So tell me about your thoughts on that.
Okay, so I'm going to use an example. That is true. So we were with a company, and what's great is when you are doing roundtables and when you're doing coaching, you are going to grow. That's who we are with. We're with people that are growing. So you might be a 1 million, well, let's say even a half a million or 1 million or $2 million company. And in 5 years, you might go to a 7 million.
Okay.
All of a sudden, the things that we've asked of our team members at 1 million become different at 7 million.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to grow maybe to a seven, like maybe I'm going to have more direct reports or some direct reports. Mm-hmm. I've never had a direct report. How do I lead them to accountability and to results? So when we were in this room, this one company was growing dramatically. And I said, when you guys joined this team, why did you join it? What were you looking for? And is this company providing what you need still for you?
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to say no. That's okay, because we want people on board that are fitting our culture, on board with our vision, and they always want to improve. I'm coachable and I always want to grow and improve. And as you grow, not everybody wants that on your team.
Right, right. Because a lot of people, I mean, I guess I wouldn't know statistically, but it seems like quite a few people don't really want more authority. They don't want more responsibility. They'd prefer to stay small, keep their own little world, and just not rock the boat.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. In fact, we had one company where we were growing them. And one of the reasons that we say, why do you grow? Some people say, Peg, why do I want to grow? And I'm like, well, a lot of times it's because the people that are really good want to be with a very, a company that's growing and is developing, and they know the good people will stay with you.
Yeah.
If you don't, if you're not under that mindset, you're going to lose the good ones to people who are providing that.
Now define what you mean by grow.
Mm-hmm. Define it?
Yeah.
Oh, so what I mean by defining is I'm innovating. I'm growing in profit. It doesn't always have to be revenue, but I'm looking for bigger, better ways of getting there. Okay. I'm either going to get there faster. I'm going to get there with less effort. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things that are involved in growth that I liked how you said, how do we define growth? So we have a company we're working with right now who has 7 employees. They do quite a bit of revenue. Let's say they're at 10 million. I say quite a bit. That's why I'm defining it, because that could be for anyone.
Yeah.
And I met for the 7 employees, and we started coaching him. And he said, I'm enjoying coaching and I like this. He was successful before we came on as a coach. And he said, but I want greater impact. I'm going to go even faster. What do I need to do? And I said, I'm going to tell you my experiences. We need to get your team involved too.
Mm-hmm.
When the, like, you know how we at Remodelers Advantage have all of those master classes.
Yes.
Get your team in those master classes. Mm-hmm. Use that as leverage.
Yes.
To get your team to a higher level. That way you're not doing all the lifting.
Right.
It's all about you. We got to spread out the responsibilities, mm-hmm. the accountability, the vision, and the excitement.
Mm-hmm. All right. That was great. Good. Because we are also of that mindset that it's not just revenue, right?
Right.
It's GP, it's net profit, it's employee satisfaction, it's customer satisfaction, all
it's happiness.
Those things. It's happiness.
It's happiness. I always say, let's go for happiness and look what will happen.
Yeah. What country was it that keeps getting the highest ranked and happy people? I think it's Finland or something, Norway. Oh, yeah. It's one of those countries.
Yes.
Happiness.
Okay. I want to take a quick minute to mention our annual Remodeler Summit, which is this September in San Diego. This year, we've done something crazy. We've extended it from a 2-day event to a 20-week extravaganza. That's right. The Road to Summit is a 20-week journey of exclusive content, engaging activities, and live virtual events, and it all begins later this month. Tickets go on sale to the public on Thursday, but I want to invite you, our listeners, to our private pre-sale event 24 hours ahead of launch. Private presale gets you over 60% off the ticket price, plus a free VIP upgrade. To get your password to access the presale portal, visit remodelersummit.com. Prices will never be as low as they are at Wednesday's presale. So don't miss out on the big savings, the 20 weeks of awesomeness, and the VIP perks. Visit remodelersummit.com and get your password today.
All right, so let's dive in a little bit. So what is a common omission that business owners have about their teams?
Well, I would say almost when I go into a company, I would say 99% of the companies do not have a plan for their people.
Okay.
They don't have a growth plan. So what I'm saying by that is, okay, Victoria, where do you want to be? Like, let's look at where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what we need to do to get there over X amount of years. It could be a year. Mm-hmm. It could be 2 years. It could be, you know, we want to break it into 90 days. And let's look at our technical track mm-hmm. that we need to grow skill level. Let's look at our human track. What do we need to learn in leadership skills to humanize it? And what does that look like? And not everybody wants to be people leaders, and that's okay.
But how can that be? If you have a company with people, how can you not be a people leader?
No, you need to, thank you for that. I meant not everybody has to have direct reports.
Ah, okay.
I apologize.
Okay,
yeah.
I gotcha.
No, everybody has to have those people skills. Yeah, you're not off. Yeah. Thank you for that. I meant you don't necessarily have to be a leader with direct reports.
Okay.
That are reporting to you, but you do every single person. If we have somebody that's not skilled in engagement and in communication, it's going to impact the culture.
Okay. I gotcha. So out of, you know, I don't know how many companies you work with in a year, probably quite a few. What percent do you think have development plans like this?
Well, after they're working with us, yes.
I mean, one would hope.
One would hope. And you know, as you're listening to this, I get this a lot. Gosh, I'm overwhelmed. I have 15 people. Does that mean everybody needs a plan? You know what we want you to do is just start with one and start with another. We have one company. I just am so proud of them and what they did, because this was the challenge. How do we make sure you have 10 people? How do we make sure you have a people plan? And there's different ways of going about putting this together. And sometimes I like them to tell me what they think is right for their company. Mm-hmm. And he hit it out of the park. What he did is he said, I want you to come to the table and tell me two things you want to grow about you. Mm-hmm. And then I want you to talk about each person on the team and say, where do you think their opportunity is to grow? So that it was like a 360, which is a mini survey.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's all about being positive. This isn't, you know, you smell.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a positive way of getting feedback. And then from that, they're sitting down. And then they're going to, this is one of their commitments from the roundtable. And they're going to sit down and they're going to create the plan of what are the skills I need to learn? What are the steps I need to take? What books or videos am I going to do? And how am I going to be measured to know that I'm there?
Okay, that's good.
Seems like a lot, but it's not. Once you do it, just take one or two things.
Right, right. That's a very good idea. I love that concept. So did it work the way you had intended? Was it positive overall?
Yes. So if you guys are listening, I'm going to tell you what not to do. Because I've been through this. So when the person did this, I said, here's when it has failed. When you do get feedback from people, this happened in a different industry. And it was people that were angry at people. And they were like, you smell and you're late. And it became punitive. And that may happen, but your job is to filter that. Like,
right.
We just want to put punitive personal attacks in the feedback. They left that in the feedback and it became disastrous.
In your opinion, they should have taken that out.
Yes. Now, if there is a pattern of misbehavior that's happening, we're going to address that one-on-one, create maybe a performance improvement plan, whatever, but we're not going to say all these people think this of you. You know what I mean?
Like, yes, yes.
This is supposed to be a way. So when you say, did it work? He did it the right way. He got great feedback. Okay. And it's a close company where it's a very positive culture.
Yeah.
And they were thrilled by it. He gave them plenty of time to think about it. Like, you don't just say, you have to tell me now.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Great.
Maybe, you know, give me a week, give me two, and then don't overcomplicate it and make it one, maybe two things.
So you're saying that either the owner or the person who is the boss of the direct reports should be the one leading this charge. Come with two. And this is one way to do it, right?
That's just
come
one
with,
way.
Right. Yeah. Come with two things you want to change and maybe some of the other team members' ideas on things they could work toward or ways they could grow within the company to bring value.
Right. Now, and that was like overall, which I always like bringing in the human element of what do I need to do, communication and not just technical.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you how somebody else did it technically in production.
Okay.
What they did is they said, here's all the skills. I'm just going to make up a carpenter.
Sure.
Here's all the skills that I want my carpenter to master. And I'm going to grade. So they had multiple they had a big team. I say big team. It was like, I shouldn't say big team, seven people.
Okay.
What they did is they gave this spreadsheet of all the skills and these people work together, right? So they know how, you know, John is, or they know Sarah, they get their skill level.
Right.
So I got a little afraid of this. I'm telling you, cause I didn't want it to be punitive, cause that's not what this is about.
Right.
And so this was his idea. I'm telling you things that these brilliant people are doing, and then we just get to learn from them.
Right. Absolutely.
And so he said, I'm going to go ahead and have everybody rate everyone on these skills, and don't complicate it. Don't make it 30, you know, just keep it simple, keep it simple, keep it easy. And I'm going to rate them, and then I'm going to average it. So he did that. And then, and this was technical skills, right?
Right.
Then he sat down with each person. This is the manager, and said, okay, here's 10 skills. Let's work on, you know, the one skill we need is trim. I'm just going to bring that up. Mm-hmm. And it looks like you're at a 10, you know, rate it a 1 out of 10, you got an average of 7. And right now that's where we need you to get better. Let's create a plan for that.
Okay. All right. Great.
Or you're at a 4 for this. Let's make that your plan. So the person just picks one and trying to figure out, okay, what job site am I going to go on so that I can learn from that mentor, or what job site am I going to do to get more practice, or what class do I need to take to learn more? So that was like another way of doing the technical track of people development.
So then does that boss check in with them every month, every quarter on their progress? What if they just start blowing it off? Oh, I'm so busy. You gave me 5 jobs. Who's going to have time to do this?
Well, I like that question. I usually see issues happen when we're not talking one-on-one with our team, by the way. So communication is really key. I think you get agreed upon development of where you meet. I wouldn't say quarterly. I'd like it to be more often.
Okay.
As a check-in. Mm-hmm. I think we have to be sensitive to people being busy. I love that. So I want to give you a tip when somebody says I'm too busy.
Oh, great. We get that. All right.
Okay. So, and we get this in coaching. They go, I can't coach. I just don't have the time. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, let's calculate how many hours you work in a month. All right. So what is that? Let's just say 40. So let's just use it's 4 weeks. I know that technically some months are longer.
Yeah.
What's 4 times 4, right?
160.
So we got 160. So all I'm asking you to do is to do, let's say 2 hours a month. That's only a little over 1% I'm asking you to give me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whenever anybody says I'm too busy, calculate the percentage of time you're asking for them to get better.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because we should be devoting at least 10%, just saying.
I would think, right?
Yeah. But if I'm just going to start, and I would start small, Victoria, like you said, if this is a new experience, start with one. Mm-hmm. Tell them to see the success, get their buy-in, have them part of that conversation, and then have them say, hey, should we do a check-in? And it could be a huddle of 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. It could be a huddle of 5 minutes.
Right.
But just what happens in goal setting and in improvement is sometimes if we wait too long to do the follow-up, we forget.
Yeah.
If you could do a twice a month check-in, I mean, or every other week or week, it's with your one-on-one, make it part of your agenda.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So really, that creates a calendar. It creates a schedule. It creates the discipline that these leaders may need to get this done. So, if, you know, like we talked a lot to the roundtable peer group members, right? Mm-hmm. And so often, the lack of results comes down to the owner not having the discipline to have the meeting, to be at the meeting, to not blow off the meeting, to have the one-on-one, to do the review, all that stuff. It's so easy to blow that off. Mm-hmm. And that it causes so many problems down the road.
Oh gosh, you're saying everything I would have said. That's perfect. I love it. Exactly.
Peg, how would you differentiate this from, say, just the annual review? You might get some owners who are like, well, I do an annual review. What's the big deal? We talk about how they're performing and then send them on their way.
Mark, it's almost like you've heard that before. I do hear that often. And this is my response to when, if you're saying that, I want to ask what generation you're in. Because if you are, you're probably a baby boomer. You're probably a Gen X. Or you're an older millennial.
Okay.
In this time and age, when we talk about managing generations, I'm sort of switching topics for a moment. But right now, you need to check in minimum quarterly and not wait for an annual review. And one of that is that the generations that are coming up with us right now, if you imagine, they have been brought up on constant feedback.
Yes.
24/7. Mm-hmm. So that like I posted something, I get a like, even if you're not on social media, you don't have to be on social media, but that is the culture that we have. So when they don't have feedback or lack and you're waiting a year, I can guarantee you it's going to be filled with negative thoughts, not positive.
Okay. All right.
Because we tend to think negative first. 70% of our thoughts are usually negative. And without feedback, we're going to go to a negative space. Mm-hmm. And so when we do the quarter, and it doesn't have to be the same as the annual review. You could have a different format for checking in, whether it's, I do have some people do monthly. That can be tiresome, because if you're really busy, you have a lot of people, at least quarterly, you know, at least quarterly do a check-in. And it doesn't always have to be really long. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Makes sense to me.
Okay.
So when you are working with a new client, and if they've not said anything to you about their team being an issue or having problems or anything like that, how do you know if that person, that owner, is having challenges with their team? You know, I mean, unless it's very blatant to you, what do you look for? What do you want to pick up on?
So some of the signs that I see, I'm going to do a few. So number one would be your turnover. So if people aren't staying with you, mm-hmm. that is, and the other thing is you got bad people that are with you that you don't get rid of too.
Right. Yes. Yep.
So it's the same way. Like, we have to be disciplined. And you know, when I get a lot of pushback, in fact, today we have somebody we have to let go, and it's going to be an emotional thing. But we have to think of the families that support the company that are impacted by the decision of no decision.
Yes.
Of allowing it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's another thing. So looking at your turnover, if it's too much, or you're keeping bad people, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. not good either. We need to make decisions faster. That's a conversation we have with a lot of people we coach. Uh-huh. One thing is, if I am, like, I'll tell you right now, we have one company where I'm seeing a lack of growth, and it's because the leader, the company has outgrown the leader's capability.
Ah.
So one of them, bless their hearts, they're doing the best they can, but we need more. So we need to find this person a different seat. Great employee. He needs it to be in a different seat.
Okay. All right. Man, that has to be a tough conversation to have.
Oh, yes. And that's why sometimes we avoid the conversations, because it is difficult and it is emotional, and we are dealing with humans.
All right, Peg. Well, so I got a big question for you. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for the lightning round?
I'm ready for the lightning round.
And now, here's a Remodeler's Advantage lightning round.
It's a trap.
All right, I'm putting 60 seconds on the clock. Let's do 6 questions. What's your favorite business book and why?
It would be Marshall Goldsmith. I like him. He's an executive coach. Just to let you know, I have been trained by him. I like his approach. He wrote a book called What Got You Here Won't Get You There. He wrote a second book too, but my favorite one is that. And it's for teams that are growing. I want you to read this, because a lot of times you are where you are because of habits you created. If we want to get to the next level, you're going to have to stop doing some things and start doing others. And it's a great book to teach you that.
All right. If you weren't a business coach, what do you think you'd be doing?
I originally was in social work.
What are you not very good at?
I'm not very patient. So I do my affirmations that say I'm in the process of being more patient.
Stuart Smalley, what do you think is the greatest invention ever?
I think libraries. I know that sounds funny.
Awesome.
Whenever I go to a library, I feel like it's such a gift to the world that we get as much education as we want.
Yes.
What's your biggest pet peeve?
When you don't do what you say you're going to do.
In one word, describe your high school self.
I'm super aggressive, competitive.
Were you an athlete?
Is that hyphenated?
I was an athlete. Yes, I played 3 sports and I was all in.
Oh, that's great. So this has been great, Peg. So before I let you go, though, I want you to share with our listening audience your 5 words of wisdom and why they resonate with you.
Okay. I would say your people are your future.
Okay.
And the reason that resonates is I have coached enough companies to realize when you get that right, life is easier. Mm-hmm. You're happier, you have a bigger impact on customers, and you have a bigger impact on yourself and your team.
Awesome. Perfect. Perfect way to wrap this up with a little bow. That was great. So thank you so much. I know that the listeners are going to love this. And if people want to learn more about you, where do they find that?
I would say go to remodelersadvantage.com. You'll see the links and learn all about us.
Perfect. Yep. That's great. And we're delighted to have you be part of our consulting team. And you're going to be at the summit this fall in September in San Diego. And have a great time with the roundtables meetings.
Well, thank you. And thank you for bringing me on board. It is just an honor.
Same here, Peg. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Peg.
You know, one of the things that Peg was talking about, well, all of it, what she was talking about was really focusing so much of your energy on your team and giving them the tools and the resources that they need to be able to grow and help them find the resources. You know, if it's technical skills, how are they going to learn it? What's available to them out there? If it's people skills.
Yeah, you should absolutely have an education budget, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Some money set aside for that. And you need to let the team know that that exists.
Yes.
And encourage them also, not just, I don't think it always has to be you egging them on. I think it's good to let it be known. I mean, we do that here, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll have someone come up, EJ or Dominic or someone will say, hey, I saw this course or I saw this workshop, I really want to be a part of it. You know, yes. So letting them have that desire to grow and approach you with permission to follow that.
Right.
And then you're enabling them, and that's even better. And it takes some stress off of you.
You know, I really like the idea of having them come with two areas that they feel they need to improve, they need to strengthen. I know you've got a review coming up soon.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be part of that process, even though you'd want to check in, like Peg said.
Right.
But be part of that process as a way to kick it off.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I was taking notes.
Oh, good. How nice that we can learn from these podcasts ourselves.
It's great.
Yeah, she was good.
Well, we want to thank Peg for sharing these tips and insights with all of us today. And of course, we want to thank you for listening week in and week out. I'm Mark Harari.
And I'm Victoria Downing. See you next time.
This has been another episode of Power Tips Unscripted, the remodeler's guide to business. Visit www.remodelersadvantage.com to learn more about Roundtables, our world-class peer advisory program. There you can also find information about our business consulting services, upcoming live events, and much more. And finally, don't forget to subscribe to the show and comment on iTunes. Thanks for listening. It's a beautiful day.